in his patience waiting for the mission team to come to him in Troas as part of the introduction to this tonight, I would like to share with you a letter that a pastor received from one of his faithful church members. It'll kind of introduce us into our message, if you please. And it says this: Pastor, you often stress attendance at worship as being very important for a Christian, but I think a person has the right to miss Sunday worship now and then. I think every person ought to be excused for the following reasons and the number of times indicated. First, Christmas, the Sunday before and the Sunday after for traveling purposes. New Year, sometime the party lasts too long. Easter, you know you have to be away for that holiday. 4th of July is a national holiday, so we won't be there. Labor Day, you need to get away again. Memorial Day, we visit family and we barbecue together. Spring break, the kids just need a break, you know that. School opens, one last summer fling. Family reunions, mine and my wife's. 2 Sundays for sleeping late because of Saturday night activities. Death in the family, average 2 per year. Anniversary, a second honeymoon. Sickness, 1 per family member. Business trips, that's a must. Vacation, at least 3 weeks. Bad weather, ice, snow, rain, and sometimes just clouds make us stay home. Ball games, 6 per season. Next one, unexpected company. You know, just can't walk out and leave them. Time change. Spring ahead, fall back. You know you always miss on that. And then specials on TV like the Super Bowl, the World Series, and the race at Daytona. Pastor, that leaves 2 Sundays per year. So you can count us to be in church on the 4th Sunday in February and the 3rd Sunday in August, unless providentially hindered. Sincerely, a faithful church member. Honestly, I don't know how anyone will be that honest, do you? There are many people who use some of those excuses, are they not? Maybe some of each one of them. They just don't write to preachers and let us know about it. The story in our selected text tonight out of Acts, it's where the assembly met together, and it was not much different than it is tonight, here today. In this assembly was a man named Eutychus, and the term Eutychus means a happy or fortunate one. He sat in the window, he fell out of the window, he died, and he was revived. I want to look at the story and preach a subject on falling out of church. How do you fall out of church? You may be thinking, well, preacher, why are you even talking about that? I'm glad you ask, because you know, 2 or 3 years ago, there's people sitting here that they're not here tonight, and they fell out of church somewhere along the way. You're here, that's true, and I'm glad you are, but there's countless others, people who have fell out of church. We will open and want to share this with you, that many people fall out of church. And maybe they're never revived like Eutychus was because they never come back again. But we want to look at this passage of Scripture. So I ask you to please, if you will stand with me for the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer. You know, in our office, we have 2 lists. We have active members and a list of inactive members. Do you know which one's the largest? The inactive is. Why is it bigger? Why is it the biggest? Because, see, they fell out of church. Fell out of church. They didn't really want to. One day they didn't wake up and just say, I'm not going to church. It's something that just happened. Listen to our text tonight in Acts 20, starting in verse 6. I want to back up in verse 6. We read it last time together, but kind of introduces, goes into our text tonight. It says, and this is beginning the second we section in the book of of Acts. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them into Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on tomorrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Let's pray together. Father, tonight we bow before you to give thanks to you for this privilege that we have to come and to assemble ourselves in worship. We come, Lord, asking you tonight to just search our hearts. Help us to be open and pliable and submissive to you. You know us, Lord, through and through already. And we realize, Lord, the greatness of the love that you have for us. All we need to do is to look at the cross where Jesus gave his life as a ransom, as a full payment for our sin debt. And Father, tonight we come to thank you and to honor you and to praise you because of the sacrifice Jesus made for us. And we come to worship you today. It is our day of worship where we celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus Christ because we meet on the first day of the week. We pray, Lord, tonight that you'd help us and help others to see the significance of that and to, Lord, to understand what it means to assemble ourselves together. And I pray, Lord, that you tonight would just have your will and way in each of our hearts and our lives. And as we come to your throne, we are reminded of those that are less fortunate, those that were mentioned in the prayer rooms tonight, Lord, each and every one, and those that were not mentioned, those who had unspoken requests. And Lord, you know each of our hearts tonight for those who have unspoken requests. But we come to you to ask you, Lord, to work in the circumstances of each life, touch where you need to touch, heal, Lord, where you need to heal. We come realizing that you are the great physician. There is no sickness, no disease, no problem that is too difficult for our Lord. And we come, Lord, realizing and believing that you have all power in heaven and earth to do as you so desire and please. And Lord, we come to ask you to just meet the needs of those that were mentioned. We pray, Lord, asking now that you would just open our minds and our hearts that we may be pliable to you and take in that which you have for us as we glean from your word the living reality of what life is all about. Help us, O God, to be more of what you'd have us to be and less of ourselves. We ask it in Jesus' strong name and for his sake alone. Amen. Now, you know, you could talk to some people that have not been back to church, and they probably may tell you, well, they never really planned to quit church, but seemingly they just fell out of church. How do you fall out of church? And this is the reason I gave it the title, is because in our passage of Scripture tonight, we see some definite things that leads up to people falling out of church. Definite things. The first thing we see as we look at our outline is we see the gathering of God's people in verse 7. Note when they come together. It says on the first day of the week. We see that they come because we celebrate that. It is known as the Lord's Day. The reason it's known as the Lord's Day is because the day Jesus Christ came forth victorious from the grave. It's also called, in New Testament times, it was called so-called the Christian Sabbath. Why was it called the Christian Sabbath? Because, see, the Jews celebrated Saturday, the seventh day, as their Sabbath. But the Christians celebrated the first day of the week because it was called the Christian Sabbath because of what transpired and what Jesus made possible. You go back and study. Jesus made his appearance to those disciples on the first day of the week. It's very important that we understand that. We have those today that says, well, Saturday is the Sabbath. And they're right, it is. It's a Jewish Sabbath. But we celebrate the Lord's Day. We worship on the Christian Sabbath. Look, as we think about it, how many of you can remember, and I put up there when. How many of you can remember when Sunday was revered and honored? Too many. It's just another day. It's just another day to do whatsoever they choose to do. Do you remember when all the businesses were closed? I do. I remember it. I remember when we moved to Florida and we'd come up on the weekend, on Saturday after I got off of work. We'd come up and we'd go back Sunday. You better make sure your car was full of gas because there wouldn't be many places open. You got way down in South Florida. Why? Because people honored and they revered God's day. But boy, it's not like that anymore, is it? It's not like that anymore. I'm reminded one time when I was serving at church outside of this side of Alma as serving as interim pastor. The pulpit committee come from Salem to hear me preach one Sunday, and then they called that Sunday evening and they wanted to meet with me that afternoon. Well, the church was having homecoming that Sunday. Of course, you know, when church have homecoming, you don't have church on Sunday night. So I told them I would meet when they told me where to meet. We'd meet at their heart is in Alma. And I can remember as we walked into that store, I heard, I guess he was the manager, say, well, it's all those that's coming in to eat this evening come in because the church crowd's going to be here directly. We're going to need them. You know what that says? Because of those church people, they had to have extra hands there on Sunday. Do you know what? Did you know if every Christian decided not to patronize the restaurants and the other places in our area, that they'd have to close down in 2 or 3 weeks? My preacher, I don't hear that. But do we remember when the Sunday was honored and revered? If you're here and you're saved, you should be in church every Sunday. If you're here and you're not saved, you ought to get saved and then be in church every Sunday. Amen? You know, there's never a shortage of excuses for missing church. But listen to what the Word of God says. I want you to turn to Hebrews 10:25. You probably know it by heart, but I want to look at it because it is very significant, very important for us to look at and to understand where the writer of Hebrews wanted to stress the importance of it in Hebrews 10, verse 25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is he saying there? The term he uses there, not forsaking, the term really means to depart, to abandon, to leave behind. How many people have abandoned the church, have left it behind, have deserted the church? My friend, if I understand the scripture and I understand this passage of scripture, we ought to be more vigilant than ever to be in attendance in church, because I'll tell you by the authority of God's word that the day is fastly approaching where Jesus will come back and rapture his church out of this mess that we're in. I guess you know you're a detestable thing, according to our lady that's running for president. You know, the thing about it was, she was speaking this and telling this to the LB, what is LJ, what are all them queers and lesbians, what I'm talking about?
That's where she's telling them, whatever you call them. But the thing about it is this. People don't understand what it means to be associated with the church. They do not understand what the criteria is for being a church member. Here, if I understand what the writer of Hebrews is saying, we ought to be in attendance every time we possibly can. There are two ways that there are too many that have abandoned the church. The church. Sometimes it was called their church. They abandoned their area of service. They abandoned their family. The parents is not taking the children, could care less about the children, but they get them involved in all kinds of activities at school. We've got some right now like that. Preacher, hush now. And ultimately, they're abandoning the Lord. And you can say what you want to, but that's what it boils down to. Whether you believe it or not, that's what it is. Abandoning the Lord. One preacher said that his church was affected with divers' disease. They dive to the beach two or three times in the summer. They dive to the mountains in the fall. And then they dive back up there to go skiing. They dive to racetracks. And he says when they go out the door, they dive out the door. Never say anything. One pastor was an avid sport fan. I bought something. I thought I'd read that too, because he was an avid sports fan until he thought about it for a while. It says, every time I went, they asked for money. Isn't that a lot of people's excuses? The people whom I had to sit down by were not very friendly. The seats were too hard and not at all comfortable. I went to many games, but the coach never came to call on me or visit me. The referee made a decision that I just could not agree with. I suspected that I was sitting with some hypocrites. Oh boy, I've heard that excuse, have you not?
That's the reason I don't go down there, a bunch of hypocrites.
I bet you what, if they're drowning out in the ocean and a hypocrite come by, they'd take the life jacket, don't you reckon, or life ring? The next one is, the people came to see their friends and what others were wearing rather than to see the game. Some games went into overtime and I was late getting home. The band played some number that I had never heard before. It seemed that the games are scheduled when I want to do other things. I've heard that too. I was taken too many time to the game by my parents when I was growing up. I'm not going back. I don't want my children to any game because I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best. Author unknown. What is he saying? That's kind of excuses that are given in our society about the church. The second thing, we see the gathering of God's people. Now we see the apathy among God's people, verses 8 and 9. Look at it with me just one more time. 8 and 9 says this. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell from the third loft and was taken up dead. Apathy in the church. Did you catch that? Eutychus. Eutychus literally fell out of church. That's what he did. This was more than just a regular service. Why do I say that? Because Paul, it was one of his passing through, going, and he realizing that he's probably going to his death. And this was a sharing with them, telling them, letting them know of what he expected, what he looked at, and also giving them instructions of how they were to carry on in the world as a body of believers. There was more than just a regular service. Paul was really preaching his farewell message with instruction. You could call it, as I said up there, a long goodbye. Look what verse 7 says. Now, long in the what? He was long in what? Preaching. Boy, you talk about long-winded preaching. Paul was a long-winded preacher. That's what it says there in verse 7, is it not? Verse 7 speaks, he was long in his preaching. Now, I know that I'm a better preacher than Paul for two reasons. Because I can preach a 30-minute sermon and put four or five people to sleep. It took him a half a night to put one asleep. But let's just think about that for a moment. The event within the text tells us what caused certain members to become inactive. Look and listen. First of all, in verse 9, we see dozing, being fallen into a deep sleep. Dozing. You ever seen them sit around people dozing? You know what? They're not here. They're not there. They're just dozing. Do you think that Eutychus, if you had a talk with him before he went to church that night, do you think Eutychus purposely went to church to fall out the window? I don't think so. I don't think so. Probably not to doze off, but we don't know the circumstances. I remember one time when I was in school at BBI, Dr. Allen was teaching, and he looked right dead at me, and he says, "Dixon," he says, "wake that fellow up there behind you." I thought to myself, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. No, I didn't say that, though. And I turned around, and I knocked on his desk, and he woke up. I felt sorry for the boy because he was young, married, just had a baby at his house, and his wife had been sick. He got up at 3:30 every morning to carry the papers, deliver the papers. That's how he made his to go to school. But I felt so sorry for him. But he told him, he says, "Wake up." He says, "I hate to see people go to a grocery store and buy groceries and leave them on the counter and walk out with them." He says, "That's what you're doing. You're here and you're not getting anything because you're asleep. Wake up," he says, "tell you what to do." He says, "You get your two match stems tomorrow." He says, "You prep them in your eye and you get the fellow behind you to hold your head up, or I'll thank you awake." He was hard. He was an old sergeant. He told one boy chewing gum one day. He says, "Chester, get outside and put that gum out." Old Chester had his head down and went all the way out. When I threw his chewing gum out, when he started coming back in, Dr. Adams says, "You know the difference between a cow chewing her cud and a man chewing gum?" Chester kind of looked at him and says, "No, sir." He says, "The educated look on the cow's face." The event, dozing. That next one is declining. It says he sank down with sleep. The next one is the departure. Verse 9, see, falling from the third loft. And then the fourth thing in verse 9d, he was taken up dead. May I interject something here? It is to say without excuse, the way something leans is the way it falls usually, unless there's a force that keeps it from it. Eutychus was falling, leaning out. If he had been leaning in, he would have fell inside the church. But you know what? We have a lot of people that come to church and they doze off because they're leaning outside. They're looking at something on the outside, thinking about something on the outside, what they ought to be doing. They're dozing off. Dozing off. It is to say without excuse, that's what happens. Which way are you leaning? Let's look at these for just a moment. See, it begins with dozing. Dozing. For one reason or another, you lose interest. You lose interest by not being concerned with what's going on. That's what happened. He lost interest. The Bible says there are a lot of lamps up there, lights in that in the upper store, and because of that, probably the heat caused some of that. But dozing, losing interest. You take the opportunity to assemble for granted, usually. You get slack in your work around the church by dozing. You quit doing outreach and visiting, you're dozing. Then you start missing Wednesday midweek prayer night, you're dozing. Then you begin to skip Sunday school, you're dozing. And then it will be Sunday night, you're dozing. And then it gets sporadic on, how do you say that word, sporadic on Sunday morning. And then before you know it, you're gone, you're out. Do you know people like that today? Dozing. Then it's declining. And this dozing and declining, they're kind of intertwined because it speaks of our spiritual life when we're out of church. Out of church. They will tell you, I don't have to go to church. Boy, I despise to hear people say that. You know why? Because it is open rebellion to the Word of God. Amen. Open rebellion to the Word of God. I don't have to go to church. No, as Brother Ibe said, you don't have to go. You ought to count it a privilege and opportunity to go. Just look at Jesus' record or Paul's record. Jesus was carried when he's 8 days old for the purification thing in there. And you see, if you study the Gospels, you see he was carried to church or went with his parents to church. Parents say, I don't want to make my children go. That'll give them a bad complex. You don't make them eat. You don't want them to eat. You don't have to make them eat whatever you want them to eat. See, Jesus, look at the Apostle Paul. We studied some of his where he was involved in church, in the meeting of the church. They met. They met. They shared one with another. When you don't go, you miss out on discipleship. You miss out on Christian fellowship. You miss out also on corporate worship. And there's where we gain strength as a child of God and a believer, as we come together for the purpose to worship and to be in church. After the dozing and the declining comes departure. What happened? Departure. Well, let's just look at that departure. He departed from where he was. Departure. Eutychus was free falling and didn't know about it until it was too late. Listen, if you don't get nothing else out of tonight, remember that he fell because he was leaning out. He fell out of the church. Some of you may be leaning already, and it's just a matter of time before you fall. Oh, but all those after things that happens, all the consequences after that that happens. Now, let it be understood, I'm not saying that you're going to lose your salvation. I'm not saying that. But you'll lose your spiritual condition as being beneficial to the world and for you and for the world to know you and who you are. Because see what it does after the departure, the falling, free falling, then he fell to his death. In their departure, you see several things that happen. You become a hindrance to the lost. You have gone from a witness for Christ to a stumbling block. You ever met anybody like that? At this point, your witness is damaged. You have no joy in your salvation or in the salvation God has given to you. David had it right in Psalm 51 where he says, Lord, return unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's God's salvation. He give it to you. It's not yours. A lot of people think they obtain it. They gain it. They get favor to have it. But let me tell you, if it's their salvation, yes, they can lose it. But if it's given of God, you cannot lose it because it's not yours to lose. But you know what? You can do something about it today. People can do something about it today. Thank God. Thank God. There is a nucleus or a core in this church. And we see that. You're here tonight. You are what we call the nucleus or the core of this church. These are those who are true to their turnout, to their time, to their talent, to their tithe, to their testimony. They share, they give. You might be saying then, preacher, why are you preaching this to us then? Well, let's say, what is the responsibility of the core or the nucleus? What are we to do? What is the responsibility that I have, that we have, to those who have fallen out of church? The third point. We also see the compassion of God's people. Verse 10 through 12. Look what it says. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and had eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. We see the compassion of God's people. What is it that it does not say? I want you to look at it. Because it does not say that Paul went down to where he was on the ground and he shouted back up and says, "Trouble not yourself." Because, see, I believe those people went down with him. With him. They must have went with him. That's why did they go? Because, see, they cared. They cared for Eutychus. They cared about his condition. Do you care? Boy, we have many that are fallen and can't get up. Fallen and can't get up. Eutychus was a priority to these people. It was after midnight, but they still remained there. And I don't know where you knew it, but this is one of the scripture proof texts that the Church of Christ used, that you're to have communion every Sunday, because they used that proof text where it said they broke bread. But the thing about it is, this was a love feast where they joined together and eat. But then Paul did not let this stop him, because it says he preached on to daylight. Have you ever been in a sermon that lasted that? I mean, a meeting that lasted that long? I don't think many of us have. How long would you stay if you was there? You know what? I believe Paul was a preacher that kept people spellbound to what he was saying, except for Eutychus, because he began to doze off. Compassion. Look around. What do you see? Look around tonight. What do you see? Do we not see all those empty pews? Those that one time probably somebody come and sit there and worship the Lord, but they're not here anymore. If we had them back, listen to me, if we had them back, we would have to knock out the back wall and add on. You know, a church is a peculiar building because the front's the back and the back's the front. Did you know that? You walk in the back, front. Is the front? Is this the front or the back? Maybe we ought to put the pulpit down there where people come in, they have to walk around and have to go out, they have to walk around the pulpit. I don't know. Maybe that should change some things. But if we had all those on our church, listen to me, on the church roll, we'd have to knock out the walls to have seating room. You know why I say that? Because yesterday, I took the old roll that was given to me when I became a member of this church. And I read through that. I looked through it. And I wept. You know why? Because on that roll I counted, there were 18 that had died since I've been here that I know of. And then I listed those who periodically come, 16. And I believe we just have two in the nursing home, Miss Carrie and Brother Vernon, is that right? But you know what? Those not here were 154 that was on the roll. That's another church, folks. Where are they? What are they doing tonight? Why are they not here tonight? One day they, like Eutychus, they fell out of church. But do we have the compassion, the care, the love to go and to share with them and to relate them to them? So, where do you fit in today? Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you gathering regularly at the church for worship? Have you become apathetic toward the things of God in the church? Do you have compassion on those who have fallen? Another question. Are you like Eutychus? Eutychus. See, Eutychus was very unique in that Paul ran down, went down, and he was healed. You know, a lot of these modern scholars, they say Eutychus was not dead. The breath was knocked out of him. But Dr. Luke was there, and he said Eutychus was dead. And you know what? I believe if Dr. Luke pronounced him dead, he was dead. But it says Paul, God restored him. Give him another chance and another opportunity. Let me tell you, God's good at that, is he not? To give us another chance and another opportunity. What are we going to do? We got revival coming. What are we going to do? We've got so many, as I said, just on that roll, 154 that I counted. But the thing about it is, they are people that God's concerned about. He cares about them. And I don't know why they're not here. I've been to some and asked them. They couldn't give you a reason. They could give you an excuse, but not a reason. But what do we do? Do we just write them off, mark them off? Or do we show the love of Christ and go talk with them, share with them? When we understand the significance of being a child of God and being what it means to live out our Christian life and Christian experience, I picked up a song that was sung it in the church at Hackbarn. But it goes like this. Though I may speak with bravest fire and have the gift to all inspire and have not love, my words are vain as sounding brass and hopeless gain. Though I may give all I possess and striving so my love profess, but not be given by love within, the prophet soon turns strangely dim. Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control, our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. By this we worship and are freed. That's what Paul said, is it not? Though he could speak with tongues, though he had to give his body to be burned, though he had to give everything he owned and have not love, it's nothing. We need to show others that God loves them and he wants to love them through us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and how you speak to us out of your word. And we pray, Lord, tonight that you, as you help us to realize that, yes, we have a task before us. And that is, as the song says, bring the wonder home. Bring the wonders home. Lord, we pray that as we make preparation for revival, as we are reminded here tonight, Lord, I know that you have brought to mind some of those that are wondering. They've just fallen out of church. And the question may be, do we really care? Does anyone really care? God, we pray that you'd help us. Help us and have us to do your will. Would you work in our lives as only you can? Bring about your redemptive will and purpose. And Lord, help us to be all that you'd have us to be. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen.